When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, there it is. What's up, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer, Mike Goolsby. This is the Mike Goolsby Show. Mike, you all good?
I'm all set, buddy.
All right. Well, welcome in, everyone. Sorry about the couple-day delay here. I was out of town over the weekend, and Goolsby was too. So just kind of worked out for us to move the show here to a Tuesday night. So a little bit more time to reflect on Notre Dame's 44-21 win over UNLV. No dull games for the Fighting Irish. Tons to discuss here. If you're watching with us live or watching back, please do hit the thumbs up on this video. If you're not able to be with us live and do a super chat, this really does help support our channel and subscribe to our channel, of course, so you can get all of our Notre Dame football and recruiting coverage. And if you're listening via podcast, appreciate you as well. We always encourage you to come over to the YouTube side of things and watch that way. And of course, head to blueandgold.com. $10 gets you access through August 31st. So first couple of minutes of the show have been the fight song and Mike Singer, but that's not why people are here. Mr. Goolsby, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, buddy. Yeah. That cancellation of the show, that was on me. I was visiting my folks out and they retired and moved to rural Eastern Tennessee. And, you know, those Volunteers are playing well, bro. And it's like, if Notre Dame doesn't get their act together, we're going to lose my old Mary Beth and Rick, my parents, we're going to lose them as Notre Dame fans. They're going to convert and become Tennessee fans, you know, if we keep this up. So, but it was nice to get away. Good to be back. The game was so, you know, boring is probably the word that comes
very
to mind.
Boring.
It's like you almost had to give it a day or two to kind of process and come up with some talking points, man. So here we are.
I mean, I think the first quarter was outstanding. It was also the longest first quarter I feel like I've seen in a long time.
Sure.
But after that, UNLV and, Notre Dame were basically an even game. Notre Dame outscored them 21-14. And this is UNLV. It's just so for me, Mike, and I always like to kind of give my thoughts and then let you rebuttal. For me, are you more optimistic, less optimistic, or feel the same about this Notre Dame team after a UNLV game? It's the same. There's just so many issues with the team and then so many, there's positive moments, but it's just like I don't know what to make of this team from week to week.
Yeah, I was thinking about it last night. This season feels in a lot of ways like similar to last season in that like it's somewhat like uninspiring. They're figuring out ways to kind of win games that, you know, last year there's games that we lost, but this year the games that we've lost and last year we maybe kind of won close and it was like semi embarrassing. You know, we didn't perform as well as we'd like to. But yeah, there's not a lot of positives coming out of the game. But to me, it was this kind of like, it's a matter of fact kind of situation. The offense hasn't really evolved. And I've heard a lot of folks discuss that, Mike. And it's like, well, what do you kind of expect? I mean, you install your offense throughout spring and during training camp. And you sort of, you tweak it week to week, you know, you'd sprinkle in some things, add some things, subtract some things. But like watching our offense, man, like the best way that I could put it, it's like we haven't evolved beyond like week one or week two of install. Like we've installed like our base offense and then that's all we've got. There's no real variation. But yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk about like, you know, we have such better athletes than people that we should be, you know, blowing out a team like a like most every team on our schedule, in this case, UNLV. But going back to the matter of fact thing, Tim Hyde said this. I mean, we are playing our third string quarterback. And like when you look at the talent
from last year, but yes.
Well, yeah, second string this year, fine.
Yeah.
There's still a good point, but like you just go down, like, and forgive me if I miss somebody, but like we're talking outside talent, receiver specifically. Colsey has been kind of MIA this year. And, you know, didn't give us a lot of hope like last year. You got Merriweather's a true freshman who's still confused out there. Early in the first quarter, Lindsey had to tell him to kind of go in motion. Like he's still learning the thing, but he's a true freshman. You've got Styles who's gotten he gave us a glimmer of hope last year as a true freshman, kind of flashed, and he's gotten maybe like progressively worse. And I want to get into the wide receiver play but I'm just going through like the roster, the talent. Joe Wilkins, I think is back, but you know,
MIA,
and again, he's not a world beater talent to begin with, right? Nor was Avery Davis, who's a captain and you know, really solid player, but he's not going to strike fear into an opponent's heart. You got Jaden Thomas, who's shown some flashes, but again, in terms of like a talent, like a go get it talent, it kind of remains to be seen. And you've got Matt Salerno, who's a walk on. Am I missing anybody, Mike, at the receiver position?
I don't think so.
So that's what we're working with.
You said Merriweather, so right?
Yeah, I said Merriweather. Yeah, Merriweather, Styles, Wilkins, Thomas, Salerno, Colsey. That's what we got, folks. So there's some star ratings in there that you can factor in, but like it is what it is. Outside of Michael Mayer, and the running backs are a nice little group, but there's just not a ton of talent. And yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm leaving the offensive line out of this, who's played exceptionally well. So it was like, you know, going.
You did say Lindsey, right, Mike?
I'm sorry, I forgot Lindsey.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy. And Lindsey, you know, he's a fine player. We kind of know what he is, but he can run fast. So like you go back to looking at last year and it was like, the quarterback situation was kind of wonky. The offensive line was kind of wonky. And we just sort of like figured out ways to win. And it kind of feels that way this year. Everything is less than ideal at every position, but offensive line and tight end, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's frustrating to watch. You know, you want to see the offense evolve, like throwing some screens, throwing some outside stretch plays. I'm still not going to crucify Reese in terms of play calling. You know, if Drew Pine can hit, I think I read this, like Pine's missed 5 touchdown passes in the last 2 games. So, I mean, if we connect on some of those, it's a different narrative coming out of these games, bro. You know, so it's a balance of, is there really a lot of talent? Is there a huge talent gap between Notre Dame and the average opponent? I don't know. Do we execute? Somewhat, kind of. Is the play calling right? I mean, there's just a lot of variables and uncertainty, and it's frustrating, man. I heard a lot of people talk about this game. They were sort of numb, right? They were numb coming out of it. And I would agree. I mean, the soundtrack to this season is you a big Pink Floyd fan, Mike? Probably not.
A little bit. Listening to him growing up, my dad loved him. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that's the soundtrack to the season is like Comfortably Numb. You know, one of their big tracks. It's just like we've kind of become comfortable with whatever we sort of put out there. And the defense, it's the same story. It's like it's just not a lot of electric plays. I mean, the defensive line, I think, still plays great. Isaiah Foskey is smartly, you know, treated this game, this UNLV game, as an opportunity to pad his stats. And that's what these games should be for the whole team. But yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of room for growth. And I just think that it goes back to the same story, man. We just need a little bit or a lot more talent to really, you know, truly dominate some of these games. So
Brian, I see your super chat. We'll get to it in a minute. Appreciate it. Got to talk Drew Pine, of course. 14 of 28, 205, two touchdowns, one pick. I think it was what he missed. Lindsay for a touchdown.
Oh, I've got him written down. Yeah,
he missed Kyrie.
When he missed, Styles ran a post corner route, and he underthrew that. So he like overthrows Lindsay, sort of misses Tyree. There's occasions where he underthrows.
Well, what'd you make of his performance?
What are the I can't see the stats, Mike.
Yeah, 14 of 28, 205, two touchdowns, one pick.
I mean, I think it was serviceable. I mean, it's what we've got. The offensive line plays so well, and that kid has so much time to throw the ball. I mean, it's remarkable how much time he has to throw the ball, and yet we still go to Michael Mayer statistically like 50% of the time.
Yeah.
So yeah. 12, it's strange, man.
12 of Pine's 28 attempts to go to Mayer.
It's bizarre, dude. I mean, that's been the entire season in terms of like Mayer's catch numbers, reception yardage, touchdowns versus the rest of the pass receiving group as a whole. It's like 50-50 split.
Which, Mike, that has to speak to a few things. Not dominant receiver talent. You just went through it. Mayer is a dominant talent, and Drew Pine, and just his overall talent and maybe an experience to just throw to Michael Mayer and good things happen.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I put a note in, man. Like, if I was the offensive coaching staff, and I'm half kidding here, bud, I'm half kidding. But, like, I might sit Michael Mayer out of practice for a week just to re-engage the wide receiver group and almost rewire Drew Pine, right? So, like, we go 7-on, we go team period in practice. Like, Michael Mayer, you're going to heal up, you know, rest up, get your legs back through the midway point of the season. Because you can see it, Mike. You can jump down Lorenzo Styles' throat for, you know, missing a wide open catch, but like you were a receiver, Mike. So like, just imagine you're out there, and the likelihood you run 70 routes throughout the course of a game, you know, 35 pass plays or whatever it is on average, 30, and you know that like the percentage of you getting the ball is like slim to none. Yet we're asking these kids to go out and execute picture perfect routes. High level execution, high energy, high level of compete, but they're like, dude, I'm not getting the ball. You understand what I'm saying? And then you factor in their youth on top of it, where maybe they don't have the best of habits kind of developed yet. And I feel for those receivers, man, because it's just like, oh, third down, we're going to Michael Mayer. Like, why am I even going to come off the ball? Right? I mean, they're human beings; they're not necessarily robots. So that's something that's got to be. Got to be worked out, but it's just again the amount of time that Pine has to throw, and I think it's become more and more evident, Mike. I mean, we could put this whole arm strength conversation to bed. Like the dude doesn't have like even that pass that he threw to Jaden Thomas was underthrown, and some of these passes, Mike, it's like, you know, if we went out in the backyard and had a catch. It's like, Mike, go run a post. I mean, it's like literally pitch and catch. The players are so – their scheme's so open. He has so much time to throw it. And I don't know if he doesn't trust his arm, but, like, he's – you know, that ball to Lindsay, like, he floated that one into the first row of the stands, and then there was another open pass later on in the game, and he tried to, throw one on a line where there should have been air underneath it. So it's like he's not a great quarterback. it's just not – And without, you know, continuing to beat the kid up, it's like, it's, you know, the rest of the season, it's not going to be pretty, man. It's just not.
Not going to be pretty. Agreed. Not a great quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's not great. He's good.
Is he good?
He's a good quarterback.
Is good. What's
We're all right. Let's I actually got something for you. I got a little surprise for Michael's.
Hit me.
All right, scoot in. I know you're doing this on your phone, so I need you to squint your eyes a little bit.
Oh, look at you, dude. You cooked this up yourself?
All right, so this is not – we got a player A, player B, player C. So I'll read this out for YouTube audience. Player A, 64.6 completion percentage with a 5-1 TD interception ratio, thrown for 235.8 yards per game. Player B, 63% completion percentage, 4-1 TD ratio, 179.5 yards per game. So player A, player B are basically this fairly close, but that yards per game is a huge difference, right? Of what, 50, 60 yards. Player C, 65.5% completion percentage. So all the completion percentage are basically the same. 3.6-1 touchdown interception ratio, 242.3 yards per game. So the player A was, that's Book's senior year. Player B is Drew Pine this season. Player C is Jack Cohn. So really the numbers are all the same. And I had, these were the metrics I could go with to not, to be fair to Pine. I couldn't go with total yards or anything because Pine's only started what, that was his fourth game. So I went with these stats here. Really the only difference is the yards per game. Book's senior year, he threw 15 touchdown passes to 3 picks. And now his junior year, he was fantastic. But we're talking a guy who's played a ton of football. Pine really has not to this point. I don't know. I thought about this and I put it together and was curious what your thoughts were.
Hindsight's always 20/20. You know me, I was a big fan of Ian Book.
Right. And I think that's a problem. I think a lot of people are just fans of a certain person.
Let me finish my thought. But no, right. Yeah, I'm with you. Right. I'm with you.
As long as you can own it.
So we have to talk about like the eyeball test, right? In terms of like the way a player looks, the way a player moves, the way he plays the game, right? Like if you're scouting a kid, the eyeball test factors in. So Book always seemed like a pretty dynamic athlete, had a strong enough arm. Book's biggest problem was he would never pull the trigger. Like I shouldn't say never, but he would rarely pull the trigger. And that's when we were getting into this quarterback kind of development conversation with Reese. You know, quarterback development and recruiting are somewhat, you know, cousins of one another. Jack Cohn had a ton of experience, had a, you know, average to slightly above average arm, but he was willing to push the ball, willing to pull the trigger. And he looked okay. As long as you didn't ask him to move around, like he looked okay as far as the eyeball test. Like Drew Pine isn't passing the eyeball test in a lot of different, to a lot of different degrees. Like physically, he doesn't look the part. And then just like the misses are just so glaring. That's part of it.
But all these quarterbacks miss these throws. Dude, I'm a Dolphins fan. I just watched him. He was Tua, and that's a number 5 overall pick in the NFL draft.
Sure.
He underthrows everyone. Everyone is so frustrating.
Well, are we talking about trying to throw a deep ball to Cheetah and Jalen Waddle? Or are we trying to, I mean, you know, you get what I'm
everyone,
saying?
Everyone, and I'm talking 20, 30, 40 yards, everything is underthrown. Crossing routes, and it's, I'm just pulling my hair out, and it's like, guys, like, just how far you can throw the football is not, like, it's just not everything.
But, Mike, you got to stop thinking about
the eye test. Tua's not passing any eye test. He's a top 5 pick.
Well, he was good enough to start for Nick Saban, and he was good enough to be a top, you know, top 10 pick. So, I mean, he passed an eyeball test to some degree. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you got to get out of your head, like, arm strength in terms of, like, how far you can throw the ball. There's different. There's, like, and there's even arm talent, you know? So it's, like, again, on Lindsey's, you know, inside release, just a goal ball, he sails it. And it's like that might have been one where you need to put that on a rope. Like he doesn't have a lot of arm talent. It's just, and again, I mean, Tua is kind of a hotly debated, you know, quarterback in general. Like some people like him, some people don't like him. But yeah, some of this again, it's like I still don't mind the play calling. I think the run game can be more creative. There could add screens, no doubt. But there are dudes open. And when Pine misses big. It's just, like I said, they really stick out. And then again, when you like go back and look at how much time the kid has to throw the ball, it's somewhat like unforgivable, man. But he is who we got to kind of run with. But I go back to like switching it up in terms of like the receivers. I feel like there's something there, Mike, in terms of we consistently go to Mayer on third down and we have all freaking year. People didn't really start to talk about it, kind of noticed it to the last two or three games. And then furthermore, like going back to your statistics in terms of comparing Pine, Cone, and Book, who has Pine played? I mean, he's played three horrific defenses. I mean, four. UNC was god-awful. I mean, they were playing 10 yards off of our receivers. I mean, they were just giving up free access throws. UNLV, not a great team. Stanford's defense, horrendous. And BYU, we thought much higher of them kind of going into our game, but if you watch the following games, not a good team, not a good defense. So, I mean, the kids had four cupcakes, and we look like – he looks like an average to below average quarterback.
Let me stop you, Mike. I'm not out here – people are like, Singer, you're ridiculous. Guys, I'm not saying he's Tua. I'm just saying, like, oh, God. Everyone's shitting on the kid. He is not that bad. This is just how people
are. Yes, he is.
No,
he is that bad.
No, he's not.
He's a 50% thrower last two games. Below, I mean, if you add the two together, he's bad, Mike.
No, he's not. He's not a bad quarterback.
Interception in the past two games.
Quarterbacks don't throw picks.
Mike, he's bad.
Mike, no, he's not.
Fair enough. Let's move on.
It's your show, but I'm just telling you, I
watched the TCU game, bro. I forget who they even played. Max Duggan, their quarterback, somewhat of a local kid. He's in Council Bluffs, Iowa. And they were saying during the broadcast, he wanted to go to Notre Dame. I would take Max Duggan 100 times out of 100 over Drew Pine. 100 okay. times out of 100. I don't know if we recruited the kid. He's light years better than Drew Pine. Light years. This is Notre Dame football, dude. He's not
light
good.
Light years. See, Kevin gets it. He's not bad. He's not great. He's good. He's just a good player. He can do good things.
We'll see in the next two weeks. And then the other thing that's, you know, this is the other thing. Let's just stay on Pine. Whatever. Let's call it we got to change the name of the show. But like, we were all sold a bill of goods in terms of Drew Pine, right? You know, what do we hear about Drew Pine? You know, he's so swaggy and he's so confident and blah, blah, blah. Where is that shit? Right? Because that's all gone. You know, it was like, sure, he's small. Sure, he doesn't have the arm talent. This. There's all these, you know, negatives, perceived negatives, but he's confident. It's like, is he though? So it's like, the one redeeming quality about Notre Dame starting quarterback is an intangible confidence, leadership, et cetera. And that's gone too. And then furthermore, you know, he gets his bell rung or takes a hard shot there. And I love that play. I love that effort by Drew on that scramble. They bring in Steve Angeli and these NBC commentators. Like, our commentators are almost worse at commentating than Drew Pine is at playing quarterback. It's brutal. But they roll Angeli out, and they – I forget who says it, but what do they say about Angeli? He's unflappable. And it's like, oh, another intangible. It's like, can we talk about, man, he's a world-class athlete. Like, he's got an insane arm strength, the quick release. Everything that we talk about with our quarterbacks, what we tout, they're intangibles. It's insane. I mean, this is football. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to get drafted in the first round because you're confident. You have to have some deliverables.
Okay. So you're watching all these other college football games, and you want Drew Pine to be something he's not. You're frustrated about Notre Dame's quarterback recruiting more
that's
than
where,
you are.
That's
about
where I point that. Yes, Mike. And I point that arrow squarely at Tommy Rees for the lack of recruiting elite or even really going after and pursuing kids that you would actually have to work for. Like you said, Mike, recruiting isn't rocket science. You just got to work at it. You feel me? Like, it's, we're the University of Notre Dame. You offer a five-star quarterback, a high four-star kid with a lot of physical gifts, they're going to listen, and you got to stay at it. So I point the arrow squarely at Reese for the lack of development, the lack of recruitment of these high-end kids. I still don't have as big of an issue with the week-to-week play calls as most. My frustration is more centered around the recruiting and development.
That's definitely where I agree. I don't know. I say this so many times. It's just very easy for fans to point at three individuals when things aren't going well: the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, and the head coach. I mean, defense coordinator sometimes too, but that really hasn't been too much of an issue for Notre Dame. It's just like, but no one's talking about draw passes or Audric Estime fumbles. If Audric Estime doesn't fumble, no one's pissed about Audric Estime. You know, just because he looks amazing, you know, like he passes the eyeball test, but he's fumbling. Mm-hmm. So that's just me. I'm just always the guy. If everyone was in here saying, you know, some guy's the best thing ever, I'd probably push back. I'm just an unpopular opinion guy.
No, it's good. It's good, Mike. And again, you know, so much of my frustration, and I love the back and forth. I think that's what makes our show semi-entertaining here, bro. But I was such a big fan of Tyler Buchner. And like, yeah, that's where so much of my almost like anger comes from, is like, in my mind, I'm defending Tyler. But I want to switch gears a little bit. You talked about Estime fumbling, big issue. You know, when he fumbled today, he's looking for contact, probably should have went over the top of that kid, you know, when somebody's trying to tackle you that low. But Estime got sat down, you know, like he got sat down. And I'm trying to kind of piece together an argument here, like looking over at the defensive side of the ball. We don't play very hard on defense. Our front four does fairly consistently, but they don't play hard. Like, you don't see max effort. And that's like concerning for a couple reasons. Like, one, you rotate so much, you should have plenty of gas left in the tank to like play hard. But then I'm thinking, These kids on defense are somewhat disincentivized to play hard, because no matter what they do or don't do, the rotation still stays the same. And we talked about that, I think, last week's show, in terms of like meritocracy versus like an equitable situation on defense. So it's like, if a starter continues to start and he misses some tackles, he screws up some run fits, and he still keeps starting, and I go out there and I kill it as his backup or the second string rotation, I play better than him and the starter still starts, it's like, well, that's disheartening to me as a kid that's trying to compete and trying to win that starting job. You feel me on that, Mike?
Sure.
So it's like, it was interesting to see they sit Estime down for an obvious fumble and it's a pretty obvious issue, but it's like, there's some obvious issues on the defensive side of the ball, linebacker play, run fits. There's two long runs today. And where I come from, Mike, that's like unacceptable. And we continue to see us getting gapped in these chunk running plays against a second string running back from UNLV. And we're still going to roll out the same kids, and the rep share is still going to be the same. So that's something that the coaching staff really ought to look at. And I've been kind of alluding to this all season, but it's like, I feel like you're really disincentivizing kids from going out there and letting them hang, dude. Because even if I go make plays, I'm still not going to start. I'm still going to get a third of the reps. They got to work that out.
Yeah. Let them hang, put it on a t-shirt. All right. A bunch of super chats to get through. Brian says, when Reese goes pro, I mean, is that being reported? I mean,
you heard it here first.
It needs to be an if. If Reese goes pro, I think there's a decent chance it happens, but again, we'll see. What do we think about hiring Brian Hartline and also a QB coach? So currently Notre Dame has a receivers coach. So Hartline, you would have, you can only have so many assistant coaches. So
is that so?
Your core, yeah, you can have tons of analysts and whatnot, but you're not going to bring in, some big name quarterback coach and Brian Hartline, because you're replacing one guy with two. You can't do that unless you can bring in like a, you know, David Cutcliffe or something like that as an analyst, then, you know, you can have a, you know, a guy to coach the quarterbacks in that sense, but not a one of the 11 assistant coaches. But anyways, thoughts on Brian Hartline as offensive coordinator?
Yeah, Brian, it's difficult to get into like specific names in terms of coaching candidates. I think Freeman already made a run at Hartline, and he's got a good gig there at Ohio State. So I would say that would probably be slim, but I like the idea of having a quarterbacks coach. I like the idea of expanding the staff. I mean, we have, last I heard, Alabama has 60 analysts on their staff. Notre Dame has zero, right? So I've asked the coaching staff, Mike, that's accurate. They have no recruiting analysts. They have no like support. So like your coaches are the ones recruiting, game planning, all of that. It's on the coaching staff.
I mean, they have grad assistants and they have plenty of recruiting office folks, but.
You got a couple grad assistants on each side of the ball, but I'm saying it's not to the level of like a higher end program. No. So, yeah,
like,
I think.
Chris Watt, like those guys are around, but it's not, obviously, it's nothing like Alabama.
Well, yeah, Laurinaitis is a GA. You know, I'm talking about extra support. Where it's like, okay, so-and-so is going to handle this breakdown, and then I can go focus on tackling this week or whatever is the case. As long as Freeman can hold this recruiting class together and continue to recruit. But it's like, dude, with this 2023 recruiting, Mike, like, isn't there a Josh Allen out there? Isn't there just some diamond in the rough, the kid, like we got nothing in the whole country. Can't find one kid that's interested in coming to playing quarterback in Notre Dame. It's bizarre, isn't it? It's bizarre.
Well, I mean, the thing about the Josh Allens of the world and JJ Watts is that, you know, they probably weren't great coming out of high school. That's why they're two stars and had no offers, or they're just fantastic and literally no one saw them.
Nobody saw them. I mean, Josh Allen, I mean, I'm sure.
He wasn't even that great at Wyoming. Like, he wasn't that great. He was just this, like,
well, based off of what, though? Statistics or the eyeball test, right? So you can look at somebody and say that kid's got physical tools.
Yeah, for sure. Developed.
So it's again, Mike, it's that your thing is truck versus trailer. That'll go on a t-shirt one day. My thing is potential versus production, right? So
let your hair hang. Let your hair hang.
Could be. That's the PG version. But going back to like Pine, Book, Cone, eyeball test, you know, Pine's in dead last in terms of that eyeball test. Yeah. So,
Mike, what do you think about this scan offense that is so much has been made of it? You know, it was Milton fans talking about it. Tyler Fisher says give Pine some tempo. Screw the scan. And I know Tim Hyde he posted on our Blue and Gold message board. He went through and charted every single play after one of those. So we'll have him on our live show Wednesday night, and he'll break that down. But I don't know, Mike, what do you think about it?
I don't hate it. It sticks out. It looks worse than it is because the results really aren't there. I think it worked better this week in terms of drawing up some successful plays, and Pine's got to connect on it. But I also, I don't hate it. I let it kind of play itself out. Tempo is great, but it should be sprinkled in. It's just like anything else. Like Charlie Weiss's offense was heavy on screens and heavy on draws. And it's like, well, a screen or a draw should be sprinkled in. Tempo should be sprinkled in. Okay. First drive of the game, we're going to go tempo. You know, first drive of the second quarter, we're going to go tempo. First drive of the third quarter, we're going to go tempo. I think on this team, in this stadium, tempo could work more just because, like, in this game, there was no juice. It was just – it was lame. You know, it was just a lame game. I think that tempo could have served us well today just to kind of get the motor running a little bit. And maybe some of that's due to the music in the stadium. I put a note down. I'm watching the game on Peacock, which is Brutal. Peacock's brutal, but
We
they
might
were
want
playing like the they
to.
were
Sorry,
playing like the
you cut out for a moment for me at least. Can you start back on your thought about Peacock?
Oh, Peacock sucks. I mean,
Oh, and then
when
the
you're
music.
trying to when, yeah, when you're trying to watch the game, it's like you try and rewind a play and then you can't see what you're rewinding. It's not good. But like I'm listening to like the game day music in the stadium. They're playing the Venga Boys. You know what the Venga Boys like? Anybody go Google the Venga Boys. And the song is like "We Like to Party." I was like, I know that's Venga Boys, and they're playing like. You know who Sheck West is? It's a rapper. Mo Bamba is the song. Like, go find the lyrics to that song. And they're playing like that in Notre Dame Stadium. It's just so weird. We go from like Venga Boys to Mo Bamba. Just a weird, weird game day environment, man. Weird. You know, Venga Boys. Like a crappy pop song from like 1994 or something, if I had to guess. Strange. Anyway, just wanted to put that out there.
How do we go from the scan offense to that? Okay, up tempo,
I'm
kind
just
of get
we're talking
your
about we're
rhythm.
talking
Right.
about yeah like getting something going, getting the team motivated. It's like Venga Boys ain't gonna do it. The scan offense isn't gonna do it. Tempo might help, but I
More
did want to
important.
weave that in there. That whole
My.
NBC broadcast in general, like yeah, I think NBC is kind of focused on the NFL, and Notre Dame definitely seems like a secondary to their NFL thing, but it's like it's just very stuffy and NBC, like even their NFL broadcast, like everybody's got a comb over. It's just like it's bad. And I don't think it's great for like Notre Dame's brand and image, but continue, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, we're good. We got I would say that the YouTube chat's about 70-30 on Goolsby Singer being correct. 70% for you, Mr. Goolsby, on the whole Pine discussion and the word bad. Mike Nolan says he's going with bad, great kid, but not for this level. Can't read a defense to find open guys and play scared. Okay. All right, Mike. You're not joining the show anytime soon, sir. I'm just kidding. Not really. All right. Ride before says ND is oh wait, that's a different comment. Milton fan says Mike G touched the belly button. Drew Pine's not bad. Lou Holtz says not bad, not great. Quarterbacks immediately look better with more low risk passes. Bubble screen to playmakers place just one bubble screen. Come on, Tommy.
I don't disagree with that last comment, but I look at I
Yep.
when I
Well,
when I when I
Mike, as you're
go
thinking,
ahead.
let me read another one. You can think on that thought. I missed this one too. Chris says, I agree with Singer. Whew, let's go. We got a few of them. I appreciate it, Chris. You can win with Pine if you tailor the game to his strengths. What happened to building on 21 personnel offense from North Carolina game? Completely agree about 21 personnel. Miss it. And I'll also add on the scan offense why I actually like it. Again, I'm an unpopular opinion guy. Is since Pine is not a great quarterback, I'm intrigued to see why you're shaking your head.
I'm
You
listening, man. Go ahead.
need things to be built around him. You need everyone to do things to help him. And I think that scan offense helps put him in situations where they're calling the right plays and where they should be based on the defensive personnel and alignment.
Can we go back to that super chat? We have, you know, something to the effect of we have to play to Drew's strengths. Okay, yeah, here we go. Chris Burrows. You can win with Pine, sure, if you tailor the game to his strengths. So, Mike, could you step in as a Pine fan for Chris here? What are Pine's top three strengths? Tangible strengths, not his confidence, not his leadership. Go ahead, I'll listen.
A belly button. Belly button's fantastic, Mike.
No, this is an honest question, because everybody talks about like people. It's they're just throwaway comments. Like, what are the strengths? Chris, drop another super chat. I want to know, what are the strengths? Accuracy? Maybe not.
I'd say intermediate, that 10 to 20 yards. Like, he'll throw some good balls, dude.
Yeah.
Does he not?
So, yeah, okay, I'll grant you that, Mike.
Okay.
So we're already playing against loaded boxes on defense because nobody, A, fears Drew Pine's ability to go over the top, and B, we don't really have a lot of guys that can win one-on-one consistently on the outside. Okay. And when they do, Drew can't connect. So you're playing against a loaded box, and then we're going to run intermediate routes where all those guys are already flooding. It's like, and that's why our red zone offense is trash. Does that make sense? So, you know, far red zone, near red zone, we're on the 20-yard line going in. There's a lot of bodies in a condensed area. That's why it's sometimes it's difficult to throw the ball down there. So if we're going to play to Drew Pine's strengths and throw intermediate routes, there's already where it's already jammed up. There's already 9-10 people in that space. So that's what I just want to know. What are Drew's strengths as a quarterback that are tangible, not his leadership and his swagger and confidence, which I don't see either. But anyways, we can keep going.
Quick, I think he's mechanics and release, I think, are very good.
Did I do a good enough job, Mike, of explaining how he has to step into his throws with a wide base? Did I talk about that? I was trying to explain this to my mother.
Nice.
So I touched on it last week in terms of, like, you prefer Drew's mechanics to Tyler's, the release point, etc. So Drew's 5'9", and I don't care what he's listed at. I've stood next to the kid. He's 5'9". Joe Alt is 6'8". Crazy. So when Drew goes to throw, he has a wide platform. Like, his feet are wide, right? So, which inherently, Mike, makes him even shorter. Do you understand?
Sure.
And then he has to step into that throw. So he's wide, he's low, he has to step into the throw. He gets balls batted. And he has to have that, like, wide base in order to complete, like, an accurate pass. So he can't really throw, like, off platform or any of that. Which is why I kind of liked Tyler, a quicker release. And it might not look as pretty and as, like, you know, kind of statuesque old school football quarterback play. But yeah, Drew's mechanics, again, I think would be great if it was 1992. But he just needs so much space to be able to get that ball off. And and he has it even with the time that he's given. But that's why I'm just not a fan of those mechanics in modern day football. Also, can we throw out, twice we tried to inside play action, we rolled him out to his left, and both plays were just like doo-doo, like throw that out of the playbook, whatever that is. I mean, he's not the athlete to roll across his ball. We do play action and we leak somebody out. I think it might have been Mayer's covered, and then anyways, let's talk about something else. We haven't talked about the defense, but any other super chats there, bro?
We got one. You asked me a question, though. You didn't really let me answer.
I do that. We gave you 10 minutes to think about it. 10 minutes to think about it. Go ahead. Top three strengths of Drew Pine, not intangibles.
Yeah. You made your point, but he throws a good ball in those short to intermediate games. He loves this Michael Mayer, but, I mean, every quarterback in Notre Dame can throw to Michael Mayer. That's nothing. That's no shocker. Dude, he's durable. You going to give him that? Does that count? He's tough.
It's a bit.
He's on the field.
Well, I feel like that's me being sensitive. I feel like that's a shot at my boy Tyler.
But yeah, how about a shot at Tyler?
Because Tyler's hurt.
So is that – so Tyler having injury concerns, is that not fair to say? That's been a – dude, some people just have that unluckiness that they get hurt.
No, I agree. Like, they get the soft tissue things. I get it. I mean, so that's two. So I will grant you the durability. I mean, it seems like a bit of a strain, a bit of a stretch there. So he's good at 10-yard passes, and he hasn't gotten hurt. So I asked for three, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I like his mechanics.
Okay. So, yeah. So if we're trying to sell ND in our offense, et cetera, to a, you know, five-star talent at the wide receiver position, like, dude, you get to come play with Drew Pine. He's great at 10-yard throws.
Come on, Mike.
He's durable. And look at him. He's got a great release.
Mike, that's not the point I've been trying to make. Instead, everyone's saying he's dog shit. And I'm just saying he's not dog shit. I'm not saying he's anything above just like a good service quarterback.
That's how I just wish that we had a different option. And I don't consider Angeli an option at this phase in his career. I don't.
But okay.
Right. And I'm not personally attacking Drew Pine.
You can't just say that. I don't think you can say that.
Why not? I'm being objective. I'm being objective. It comes across harsh, but this is big time football, right? I'm saying objectively speaking, he's 5'9". Is that a pro or is that a con? It's a con. Objectively speaking, it is, man.
You say a lot more than that, Mr. Coolsby.
I'm just saying, dude, I said he has a noodle arm. You know, he's not driving the ball. And that's not even a matter of like, okay, how far does he throw it? I'm sure he can throw 55 yards in the air, but like, what does it look like? Is it floating or is it driven, right? Can he whip the ball? Anyways.
Right before says Notre Dame has played down to its opponents since Brian Kelly, and this leads to rebuilding years because the young guys don't get reps. Elite teams don't do this.
Yeah. And it was interesting. I think that's a great point there. And I touched on this after the Brigham Young game, and it could have just been the Vegas environment, but you know, kind of the Cameron Field post game, I saw like a lot of young guys with a lot of energy, like super enthusiastic. And it almost seemed like there was kind of a changing of the guard. I think I talked about it on the show, Mike, and there hasn't been a lot of follow-up to that. I'm a big fan of Prince Kali, and like Prince's body language, man, I think he's like getting a little bit frustrated out there. It goes back to what I was saying earlier in terms of like, we're rotating and we're starting the same guys, whether they play like crap or whether they play great, we're sticking with our starters. I can see Prince Kali getting a little frustrated. I can see, you know, Lorenzo Style starting to slip a little bit. These are guys that are younger guys that we were excited about. So yeah, I do think there's a degree of that. And then like I'm a big leadership guy, Mike. We talked about that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that looks like on this team. You know, really across the board. So like with that last super chat, like young guys are developed and they sort of learn that leadership from the older guys. You know, kind of the way we do things and really the standard, which I like to talk about. I don't know what our standard is this year in terms of effort, execution, whatever. So those younger guys, albeit they're very talented, at least, you know, based off their high school rankings, recruiting, et cetera. So you're still excited about them, but how are they being conditioned to think and how to condition to work? There's a little bit of room for concern, you know, in the coming years, because I don't think there's a good model being set by the older guys, and a couple of your captains are, you know, hurt and they're not even playing.
We had a super chat from Sean who says, thanks for your honesty, Mike. I don't know which Mike he's talking to here, but
We're both being honest, Mike.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone's like, I love Goolsby. He tells it how it is. Like, he very much does, but I think everyone tells it. I mean, we're not – look, it'd be very easy for me to just kind of go with everyone else on – excuse me, I should say the majority – on all of these topics, but I don't give two shits, and I'm going to tell you guys exactly how I feel.
And I love you for it. Mike, I love you for it. Again, if we all agreed, there wouldn't be, we don't get into the X's and O's over here. I don't want to be that guy. We've always tried to make this a little bit entertaining, Mike, right? Have a couple laughs.
We don't have setups with NBC and stuff to where, like, if you go watch ESPN, they will show CBS highlights and Fox highlight, you know, games on Fox, and because they have those partnerships. I mean, if I put up clips from an NBC or Peacock game or ESPN or whatever, our show will get taken down. So that's Mike, if we could do that, we would absolutely do some of those. We would probably spend 10-15 minutes on that. Maybe in the future at some point we can get you on the chalkboard, you know, and do something like that. But
yeah, piece of cake.
Yeah, be fun. I had your notes because special teams. We haven't talked to any special teams. We talked about identity offensively and defensively. It's like the offense is just a big question mark, and the defensive identity seems to be bend but don't break.
It does.
And a lot of missed tackles and starting to get some turnovers. Special teams is go make plays, like all these block punts. The punter and kicker have both been very good. Nothing really in the punt return game or kick return game that I can think of off the top of my head, Mike, but those plays, those two things, just the kick return more so than the punt return, seem to just be going away in football. Do you agree with me?
That's fair. I mean, kick return more so than punt return, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, dude, Brian Mason, dude's a rock star, and he recruits his ass off too. I really like him.
Yeah. And I, you know, I played on a team in 02 that had great special teams, and it's just something that a Syracuse is really going to have to spend a little bit more time in practice drilling into and focusing on, which is an advantage for us. We blocked three punts in the last two games. I love the move putting Foskey out there. I love it. It wouldn't shock me if in the next two games we make a little bit of hay in the return game, because now your opponents are going to be so focused on blocking it up.
Sure.
It might fail to work on the coverage.
Okay.
So we can show block, and then that's where you would build off of. We have the threat of a block. So you heard it here first. I'd like to see some sort of a wall return or something on the punt return game, but the threat of blocking kicks can strike a lot of fear into opposing team. They got to spend time coaching it up. And then the next evolution is the return game for sure. So absolutely. There's three phases of the game. And like with an offense, it's kind of sputtering, and I think we'll continue to kind of sputter, and a defense that doesn't make a lot of things happen. That's the third phase of the game. And it's important. I mean, we don't want to lean on our special teams. We're not like Virginia Tech, right. You know, but yeah, you love to see it.
And then thoughts at the linebacker spot, Mike, you want to talk about those guys?
I just don't think that we play hard consistently. I mean, Howard Cross is a dog. Foskey's played hard the last several games, and he's starting to get home. But yeah, the linebacker fits. It's like the best way that I could say, and this is just a kind of dipping my toe into that X's and O's conversation. Like when I train linebackers, and it's just a mirror drill. So like I teach kids to read the back, and then they sort of feel the underneath stuff. So in your periphery, you're feeling the guards, you're feeling a fullback or, you know, an H back cross your face, but we're keying the back. And for those of us watching at home, the running back shoulders, Mike, make me go full screen here real quick, if you could. Yeah. So it's like my shoulders are square. It's going to be an inside run when that running back takes the ball. If those shoulders turn to a 45, it's going to be an off tackle thing. If those shoulders turn to the sidelines, just turn and run. So like it was their first long run, that 70-yard run. Like JD doesn't acknowledge where the running back's taking him. So he steps up and then he gets himself cut off, where he should just be a fast flow player. Those kids don't have great instincts. They just don't. And their fits are off. And then the other thing, like if you have a specific gap, like you're going to shade a lineman. If I have the weak side A gap, I'm probably going to shade the weak guard, right? They always seem to be a half a man misaligned, where they let themselves get cut off. And then the other thing is like they catch blocks like it's their job. They catch blocks like they're almost being taught to catch blocks. So wait. And they're a magnet. They catch blocks. So it's just bad instincts. I think Maris played hard. I still think JD plays hard. But JD, man, he's out of control. You know, and I just don't think he's like a good enough athlete to like mix up his tempo. He has to do everything full speed in order to compete, if that makes sense, right? So he'll overrun balls. That play, Mike, where the quarterback, I think it was first quarter, second quarter, the quarterback looks like he's going to go down, somehow steps out of like five tackles, JD overruns the play. Overruns the ball, and the guy like manages to fall for a first down. Like plays like that, it really sticks out to you. Like, this isn't a great defense. They're not dogs. Like, you've got a quarterback just standing up, waiting to get hit, waiting to cough the ball up, and somehow he manages to like wiggle through and fall for a first down. Like, that stuff's shameful. And he just doesn't get enveloped by the entire defense. I don't think they play well. I've said it all season. I play hard, rather. And their fits are off. And I just feel like if they could switch their initial alignment, bump a half a yard one way or the other, and they'd make more plays in the ball. Okay. But it's it's not great.
How do you feel about Notre Dame these next two games, Mike? Syracuse on the road, 12 p.m. kick, and then Clemson at home the following weekend.
I think we lose to Syracuse, and I think we beat Clemson.
No shit, really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Syracuse is a difficult place to play. I just think they're a well-coached team. I think we lose close to Syracuse, and I think that Clemson's probably a little bit overvalued. I don't think they're as great and as dominant of a team as their ranking would reflect. And I just think there's going to be some magic in the air for that night game at home against Clemson. And I think they can pull off a win. That's just what my gut tells me. I think we'll lose to the Q's, the Orangemen. And I think we'll come home and beat Clemson. And I'm going to bet it that way too, Mike.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other closing thoughts before we get out of here, Mr. Goolsby?
Just looking through my notes. Just casual observations. When Drew got hit on the back of his head there after his scramble, could have been me, but it didn't look like we had a like contingency plan like in place. Like, it wasn't like Angeli started taking snaps from under center and kind of warming himself up, which is a little concerning. It was just like, do we not have a backup plan in place? Like, I think we were caught off guard by the fact that Drew Pine could actually get dinged up in a game. It didn't look like Angeli was like knew what to do, how to get prepared to potentially go in the game. It just kind of stuck out to me. But that was about it. I think, the other thing that I just one positive in this game more than recent games or throughout the season, I thought that we worked the middle of the field in the passing game more, which should suit Drew. I mean, he doesn't have the arm strength to throw these like outbreaking routes unless it's like a 6 yard hook up to Michael Mayer. So that was encouraging. But yeah, this is going to be kind of a wonky season, and, let's just get through it. And Coach Freeman, you got to give him time. He's definitely learning on the job, and he's here to recruit. And as long as, I mean, he's probably the only reason that we're holding the class together. And I still believe in him in that regard. So we're not quite there yet. I think we just need some more special kids on the offensive side of the ball.
And how many years have we been saying that?
But, as long as I've known you.
Yeah. Last super chat. This will be our last call for I've done my last call now. So this will be our last one of the night that we'll address. Appreciate all the support tonight, folks. Been an amazing show. Mike Nolan says, can we run versus the Q's? They play 3-3-5 and Clemson ran for 293. I hope they can run the ball against Syracuse. If Notre Dame can, it'll be a long day.
Yeah. Anytime you're playing a 3-man front, you should be able to just run downhill because your inside linebackers aren't covered up. And the guards can just roll off on people. So we absolutely should. I think this game we probably could have ran off tackle a little bit more. I'd love to see some more stretch plays to Tyree. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Audric. Are we going to go with just run out, roll out digs and have him have another 30 carries? Who, by the way, Mike, I think the spring game was it late April?
Yep.
Logan Diggs tore his labrum. I've had that injury. I've had that surgery. That's a 6-month recovery. And dude, all the credit in the world to Logan Diggs for toughing this out. But like, Logan Diggs should just be coming back like now.
Yeah.
You know? So that's just something to keep in mind. I mean, he shouldn't, at least in my instance, it was a 6-month recovery rehab before I could go run and hit. So yes, we should be able to run. And I hope we do. It's just like, let's not muck this up. Let's not go empty. Let's bring back two back personnel. But it should be an ugly game. It's going to be close. Maybe a special teams turnover. It's going to be special team turnover type game, kind of thin margins.
All right. Yeah, we had one more. Theodore says, Mike, if Marist and JD start, can they fill and not over pursue against Navy? I think they will get gashed by Navy's fullback and Navy's coach will attack these linebackers. Worried about losing this game. This will be the last super chat, guys, I promise.
That's a great, it's a great call out there by Theodore. It could be problematic. I don't see JD having as much of an issue. I think we're probably going to bring them. I think we're going to blitz them a lot to offset the lack of instincts. And I've played against that Navy team, Mike, multiple times, dude. And it's like you're scraping over the top of as a linebacker, and they will give it. It's all based off the fullback. Air Force is all based off the quarterback. But they'll give it to that fullback even if there's a one-foot gap. Like, you have to stick your head in there whether he has the ball or not. And it's difficult to do because you don't see – because I play – you play linebacker like running back. You're looking for air. And there is no air. There's only a gap this big, but you got to run in there. Otherwise, he's going to fall forward for 4 yards. So, yeah, that could absolutely be problematic. I believe it.
Okay. We are not Marshall – says, why do I believe that Goolsby and Singer wouldn't be running in the same circles outside of this show? Man, I would love to have a beer with Goolsby. I think me and Goolsby would be.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
He doesn't think that we would be friends. If you know, well, of course, we live in different states. But Goolsby and
I'm into, yeah,
on a daily basis. He FaceTimes me. We sing to each other at night. So I think this is.
I am into cats and Pokemon. You know, Singer and I have a lot in common.
What are you talking about? I like my cats.
So, yeah. No, one of these days we're gonna meet. You know, we're gonna have we've never met in person. So one of these days.
It's bound to happen.
Yeah.
Bound to happen. All right, Mr. Goolsby, next Sunday, you're in?
I'm in, man.
All right. Well, folks, appreciate you watching until the end here. Hit that thumbs up before you get out of here. Of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you have not yet, leave us a kind review. If you're listening via podcast, and as always, everyone, we'll catch you next time.